Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 471. We're up to the final film of the Axel Foley franchise. We're up to part four, Beverly Hills Cop 4. Axel Foley is the name of it, or Axel F, whatever, which way you want to call it. But I'm your host, Adam Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Joining us in this episode is going to be Evan, our intern. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Is this the first time watch for everybody?
No. It is for me.
Okay, so me and Evan watched it already. So you're the first time watching.
I'm the
Lone
Ranger.
Now, before you, I don't want to hear nothing about whatever. I just want to know, did you have high expectations sitting down watching this? Because I know you hate Netflix movies and originals and all that. So I just want to know, when you hit play.
Yes. Like, I sat down, I pulled up stupid Netflix, and I said, search.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills. There it is. When I hit play, was I like, you know what? I'm hoping this is good. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, because part three sucks so bad. Part three sucks so bad that, yes, I was like, man, this can't be worse. Even it's a Netflix movie, I don't like them. And when we get to the review, there will be some things I'll talk about. But yeah, I was cautiously optimistic. We'll go with
that. All right, well, what did the critics and audience have to say about the movie?
Yes, because we don't have any box office returns because this thing came out. But we do have a budget, which was $150 million, which is interesting. Okay, critics and audience. Well, Alex, you remember last week when we talked about Beverly Hills Cop 3, we had never seen such an extreme drop. Like it was like 50% or something, 40-something percent. I don't know if I've ever seen this, which is insane increase up from the last movie. Okay. So Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F, a critic score of 67%, which is more in line with like part two than part one or part three. Yeah. But that is a 56% increase from the third movie. So huge jump, well reviewed than the last movie. Okay. Audience score, kind of similar, not quite as big, but the audience score for this movie is a 74%, which is a 40% increase, which I know for a fact, I don't think we've seen an audience score go, because usually critics, they could be, you know, I don't even know what they're looking for half the time, but audiences generally, you know, when it comes to franchises, they kind of like follow a trend. So I don't know if you remember any, I for sure don't remember a 56 or 40% jump. Especially like a part four from a part three. I don't think I've ever seen it. Not here.
No, I agree. I haven't seen it either. This is the first time.
Yeah. So it's got good reviews, this movie.
Well, let's get into it. Because I want to see what you guys think of it. Because rewatching it with the criterias and just rewatching it in general, I was like, whoa, something changed here. And I don't know what it is. But with that said, Evan, you're going to take the lead here. With lead character, what did you think of the entire cast coming back for? And then they added the new ones, his daughter and Gordon Levitt. So go ahead. What do you think?
First of all, when I first watched this, I felt like Nate when how he felt about Beverly Hills Cop 2. I might have not been in the mood because I really hated it. So I was the least looking forward to rewatching this. But I'm going to say I did enjoy it better than I thought I was. I ended up with the lead character. I had a hard time with this. I gave it a 3. It's a better than 2. I mean, better than 3, the last movie, but not as good as the first two in a sense of lead character. I thought everyone was just, besides Paul Reiser, Reiser. I thought he was the best character in the sense of getting to know like kind of where he's at, and we had a moment. Everyone else is, hey, look, there's him. Like, they're not really using the characters. They're just kind of there. Like, Traggett is kind of there until they have the funny moments. Like, they're not actually, they're just kind of, how am I trying to say this? They're not being used to their full potential in the sense of what they do. Like, they got Roseworth arrested and not even in it, and he's being talked about most of the time. And then any kind of, like, Eddie Murphy, Axel Foley's trying to have a growth moment. They like then make it a joke and never talk about it, about him going to therapy and doing. So I felt like we never really landed, but it was way better than we got from the last movie. Still not as good. And I felt honed in as number two as everyone. So I landed on a 3.
Okay. All right. Nate, what you got? First time watch.
Yeah.
What you got?
Okay.
For lead character.
I see what Evan's saying, and I kind of agree in that I feel like some of the peripheral characters, it was more like, hey, remember this guy? Hey, remember this guy? Hey, you remember this guy? And then they were there, right? Taggart is a perfect example. It doesn't even make sense. He wasn't even in part three because he retired. And then I'm supposed to think, okay, he got remarried or married and then unretired. And not only that, got all the way up to like the chief of police and all this kind of stuff. It would have made more sense if he was like in three and kind of how Rosewood was like working his way to a different role type of thing. Yeah. But whatever, doesn't matter. Minor thing. Here's my problem with cast, and then I'll go to Axel Foley or the old cast. They were all so old, and I just cannot like it was tough to like it was tough to buy these old guys doing all the stuff they were doing in this movie. Like Rosewood is like a PI, Taggart is the chief, and he died shortly after this movie came out in real life, the actor. So he looks kind of like old and sick, and to be like, you know, I don't know. It was tough for me to kind of buy it. As far as Axel, though, I actually liked him in this movie way more than part three. Way more. I mostly scored him. I gave him a 4, and I liked the daughter, and I liked some of their dialogue together, like about how they have like the strained relationship and why it's strained and how she was like, you know, you're the parent. And he's like, you did it too. And, you know, they're both kind of stubborn. They're similar because they're father and daughter.
Yeah.
I genuinely like that. I think some of the writing between the two was pretty good. I liked the new, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I've always liked him as an actor. He was fine. Like as a new addition, nothing. He didn't take anything away. He didn't add anything crazy, but he wasn't like bad or anything. But I think Eddie Murphy, I mean, I laughed a few times. Now, that was the one thing I was worried about. I was like, am I going to laugh? Part two was funny, like legit. And I don't know, comedy to me, it's a young man's game. Usually they get older, you kind of lose that. And there were times here where he looked like he was kind of just like going through the motions. But man, there were some parts that really, really made me laugh. So I think he enjoyed doing it way more than he enjoyed doing part three. So yeah, I give him a 4. I liked him. And I think adding the daughter, that adds to the character, right? One thing we always talk about when we do these franchises is, how's the guy in part one versus in part four? Is he the same exact guy? And he has the same tendencies, but now he got a kid. And then that adds layers and it adds depth. And I wish we knew who like the mom was or like they talked about that stuff more, but whatever, it doesn't matter. I liked it. I gave it a 4.
All right, so we got a 3 and a 4.
Uh-oh.
I gave it a 4. I gave it a 4. I like Eddie Murphy in this. I laughed. And actually, I'm not going to lie. I laughed throughout the whole movie. I laughed. I thought he was the same. I thought it was the same. I felt like he was the same character that we liked in the first two movies, but just an older version of Axel Foley. Like, this is the version I wanted for part three. Yeah. Like, and there was mad funny moments where he was like, I'm going to shoot you in the face, and then I'm going to shoot myself because I'm not going to die in a plane crash.
The helicopter. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
I laughed when he was trying to do the joke to get the free room at the hotel. He goes, nah, what?
Oh, yeah, he starts with the British accent.
I'll just pay for it.
Yeah, I'm too tired. Yeah. I thought all the funny scenes with that was actually funny. Rosewood, I felt like I kind of get why they used him in the story. And I was like, cool. But it should have been one of those things that they should have did like in Ace Ventura, where you see him doing something. And then he gets caught, and then you don't see him again towards the end. Like him doing the mission, not him calling the daughter and saying, I don't want you to be like, no, he just gets kidnapped and that's it. The movie just starts. And then that's when everything unfolds, like Taggart called the daughter or whatever. But I felt like Billy was underutilized in this one. Just me. Taggart, I don't mind because Ronnie Cox was old too. So I didn't mind like the older chief people because that's what they are there for. I didn't like him when he joined the fight at the end because it just didn't make no damn sense. But in terms of him being the captain, I didn't mind. I was like, okay, good, whatever.
When he had a duck during the gunfight, that was the slowest duck. Yeah. I was like, you're dead. You're dead.
And then my boy Serge came back. He was mad funny. He was like, Aqua!
When he couldn't say, what was the Abbott. Yeah, that was kind of funny too.
I thought he was, again, I know it's nostalgia purposes, but I kind of like seeing all the characters back. I get it. They were old, but Him, I didn't mind because I thought he was funny.
And it made sense for how he was brought into the story. It was actually moving the story, advancing the story, where pretty much he was used in three just to set up the gun joke later on. In the movie. This made sense. No.
He was better in this than in... He was funnier in this than he was in three.
I think this one was written... like the first two mashed together, just a modern, older version of the characters.
I would agree.
But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Like I said, Axel Foley was funny. He did all his different accents. He did all the stuff that you wanted. And now you added the daughter. I thought it worked. For me, it worked. I gave it a four. I don't want to see a part five, but a four is fine. End it here and I'm good. But okay, main villain. Now, you got Kevin Bacon, which is like the task force leader of the narcotics division.
Yeah.
So that's who he is. So we'll say Kevin Bacon and the bad guys, because that's who they are, the thugs and Kevin Bacon.
He's the main villain. He's the main villain.
You take it away.
Yeah, I didn't like him. And I like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Love Kevin Bacon. Great actor. Versatile. Can play a good guy. Can play a bad guy. I have no problems with Kevin Bacon. This series has to be collectively one of the worst for villain. This is the fourth movie in, and I can't say I liked any of the villains in this whole entire franchise. He's a cop. He's a dirty cop. I mean, dirty cop gotta be, if you go to like top three cliches for villains, dirty cop is top, it's in the top two probably. You know what I mean? It's like corrupt politician, dirty cop, like megalomaniac. You know, like, I'm gonna blow up the earth. Those are the three top ones. I'm like, okay, dirty cop. I don't know. He's there. I mean, he's bad. You know what's crazy? At least that guy in the second movie, he shot Uncle Dave and
the third one?
The third movie. Yeah. He shot Uncle Dave and he shot his chief, you know, the Detroit guy. And Kevin Bacon, he got henchmen. They're big and dumb. They're like really stupid. Like Axel Foley bests them and he's like 65 years old and he can like, I know he looks good for his age. He's still 65 years old. I don't know, I gave him a two. I don't even know. He's literally, his whole thing is, I don't get paid enough. I got shot and all I got was a ribbon. So I'm going to do crime to make money. And it'll be drug money. Okay. Seen it better. You know what was better? You already know, Alex. My boy. Lazy Eye Forrest Whitaker on Street Kings. Remember Street him? Kings.
Yeah.
Where he was like a...
I did that one with you.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You were here. Perfect. And he had the money in the walls, and it was the same concept, but that was a way better execution of this type of character. So I gave him two. I think he's unmemorable.
And he was more involved in the story.
Yes.
Where Kevin Bacon wasn't involved as much.
He'd be gone for a long time, and then all of a sudden pop back up. I'm here. I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were on that one. All right, Evan, what you got?
Well, I don't know, because the way I feel guilty for my score.
Oh, snap.
I liked him. I did. I don't know if it's Kevin Bacon. I don't know if it's because I've been watching all of them back to back and the other villains aren't doing much in the sense of the acting department, like in the sense of like they're there. So Kevin Bacon, I gave him a four, and I don't know if I enjoyed it, and I get what Nate's saying, but I wasn't thinking about that. I was really just comparing it to the first three, and I felt...
You probably did it right.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I've seen 400 of these dang movies doing this show.
Probably.
Like, oh, here we go.
But I was thinking, and I was putting them in because I was doing all the like other bad guys from the other of the comic strip ones, and I'm like going... Here's an actor who's actually acting, and we actually have like a little give and take between Axel Foley where you feel like it's a matchup.
Yeah.
Because I feel like anytime Axel Foley has ever talked to any of the bad guys, they're just kind of standing there going, yeah, okay. Like the scene at the top of the roof on that building, like you have a little like give and take, and you have, why don't we get him? Let's try to kill him. Let's end this. So I gave him a four. But Nate is correct. There's nothing special about him in the sense of when it comes to a criminal. But I think out of all the Beverly Hills Cop, Kevin Bacon takes it to another level that it was more enjoyable. So I gave him
I think it's because your first name rhymes with his first.
That's true.
Sure.
Evan Bacon.
Yeah.
Evan Bacon. All right. Well, look. I was.
Uh-oh. Let's see. This is the tiebreaker.
I'm gonna be honest with you here. I was not digging Kevin Bacon. And this is what happens here. Okay. I gave him... a burnt beacon. And I gave him one. I gave him
one.
Wow. Because, and this is the reason why. When we did Denzel Washington Safe House, and I said, I will always do this. If I see a character walk on screen and he gives you the face of, I am the bad guy, and you don't need to decide, that's bacon. The minute he was sitting on the couch, I went, oh, this dude's the bad guy. Now, again, I watched it before, but even when I watched it the first time, I was like, oh, this dude's the bad guy. Like, he has bad guy vibes because Kevin Bacon always plays the bad guys in these stupid movies. It's never as much of the good guys. He's always an anti-cop or he's a bad guy, right? So for me in this movie, he wasn't even as good as the other previously other guys. Great actor. Yeah, you could say in terms of acting, he did outshine all of them. But they were all from the same DNA. Nothing different, nothing less. He was a cop, and he just was a corrupt cop. That's it. Nothing crazy. Did he fight Eddie Murphy? No. But he had the gun on him. He shot at his daughter. Eddie Murphy jumped to save the bullet. But other than that, I was just like, this is dumb. My man was at the rooftop with all the bad guys. And Axel Foley walked in, and I'm like, come on, man. This move could have been done in 2 seconds. You could have called the cops, and they were right there. But again, I just don't like characters like that. I mean, maybe like Nate said, we're so immune to these villains because we did 470 episodes of bad guys. It's nothing new or nothing fresh. Now, I will say, in terms of the storyline, in terms of the villains, okay, they had the whole drug thing. But this is the same... Same storyline as part two. Just modern version of part two. It was just instead of the weapons inside the cases, it's drugs. Part one was drugs. Part one, yes, because part two was the Alphabet Gang and the Diamond Heist and all that.
Yeah. Part one was bail bonds and drugs. Yeah.
Yes, but it was the same thing inside of these cases and all this.
If he would have said coffee grounds, I would have turned it off.
Oh my God. No, but at the end of the day, the goons were kind of corny and garbage. And the interaction between the bad guy and Axel Foley was really good when he was talking in front of his daughter and he was trying to manipulate his mind going, you know, when he was trying to sway him that she's like putting a cop, trying to get the cops in jail. I was like, okay, dirty bastard. But he's still dirty. But I didn't like him, so I gave him a one.
I do want to say for our audience listening, yeah. we are a little jaded, I feel like. And it's not bad. You know, when you watch a genre a lot, you're a little more critical. Yeah. If you're going to do corrupt cop, they got to be the performance has to be like really great. That is like, this guy's charismatic. Like, I like watching him at least. Kevin Bacon was good. I agree with Evan. Like, his performance was good. But he's not on screen a lot. And he wasn't charismatic or over the top enough. Or you got to be like very evil. Like, you got to be shooting people on screen left and right. You got to be, and you could still do corrupt cop. But if you're just going to do the basic, this is like the bare minimum corrupt cop character. You know what I mean? So, you know.
And that's what you said. Like, it should have been this. Kevin Bacon should have been the head of the Beverly Hills Cop precinct.
Instead of Taggart,
because then he could plant evidence on Axel Foley, and now the movie is Axel Foley and Taggart and Rosewood on the run because of Kevin Bacon's evil whatever, and then Gordon-Levitt.
That would have been better.
Didn't Gordon-Levitt and the daughter would have had to join forces to get the dad out of the you know, the spotlight and all that. I'm just saying, that's what I would have done, but they did what they did. So with that, anyway, I gave it a one. You guys gave it higher scores. Let's get to action sequences here. Evan, what you got for action?
Okay. I know I've been like the worst scoring of this action stuff.
You've just been perfect.
You've been honest and perfect.
And I don't know, based on the last two, the last scores I came, I was fairly high. I enjoyed this action. I did. I gave it a 4. We had helicopter seats. We had the car chases with the music. We had gunfights that didn't sound or weren't too ridiculous. Like, it brought it back to the balance of the fun of two, a little bit more realism of one, and we get what we got with this one. And three, I don't even know. That was just a comedy. I don't know.
That was horrible.
It was horrible. So I really enjoyed this action scene. Even the fun little, like when he takes a little cart and then like chase around with that was just fun. Like, I just had,
part made me laugh.
Yeah, that was funny.
And it was just fun. But then we got the serious action with like the shootout in the street and people actually died on screen. And it felt real and had some tense moments. And so I enjoyed this one. And so I gave it a 4.
All right. I sound like Matthew McConaughey. All right, Nate, what you got?
So here's where I was going to say about my budget thing. This had a $150 million budget. There's some explosions and stuff that look bad. And this is why I don't like Netflix movies. They come out with these movies. Their budgets are huge. And if I would have saw this in a theater, I would have been like, this is horrible. Yes. Horrible. But they could get away with it because you're watching it at home and you didn't have to. And that's why I struggle with these movies, because they always feel like they cheap out in aspects because you're watching at home. So some of the effects, not great. However, I thought the action was okay. I thought it was okay. Here's my problem. Everything is a chase scene. It's the same action scene over and over and over. They just changed the vehicle. In the beginning, he's driving in a little cart in the arena. Then they're driving in a snowplow. Then later, they're driving in he takes that other guy's truck when they're in Beverly Hills. He got the little parking ticket meter thing. Then they got a helicopter. And all they're doing is chasing after people in vehicles. That's pretty much, and I get it. Like, what are you going to do with 60-year-old Eddie Murphy? Like, you're not going to be out here. He's not Liam Neeson. You know what I mean? He's not going to be out here hand-to-hand fighting. I mean, he never really did in the other movies anyway. So you have a little shooting mixed in with a few of them that perks up a couple of them. I did the parking. Okay, when he steals the parking ticket thing, I had to say this because it probably was the hardest laugh I had in the whole movie. He gets on there. She maces him.
Oh, that'd be
okay. But then the part that made me die was he hits the gas, and when he looks, she's hanging on it. And I did not expect her to be hanging on it. And I laughed so hard. I had to like rewind it just in case I missed anything he said, because I started cracking up. So I thought that was clever. Because you're expecting, oh, he's just going to drive away and he can't see. Nope, she's still on there like Spider-Man. That was good. I gave it a 3. I don't think it's terrible. I just think it's repetitive. It's kind of the same, but there's enough in here. Like, there's spurs throughout. They got little pockets of action. Just a lot of chasing. There's people chasing after people over and over and over.
All right, so when it comes to action sequences, I was laughing because I was like, okay, so how would I score this for myself? I was like, this is way better than part 3 in terms of action. I mean, from beginning to end.
I liked the action in part 3. I think I was the only one.
You the only one that liked the action in part 3.
That was the only thing I liked. Yeah,
this is the best part. This action scene was way better. But I gave it a 4 with Evan. I think it was great. I liked it. I thought it was funny. It brought back a lot of the 80s nostalgia in terms of the car chases. I think it's the soundtrack. They went right back to the original soundtrack of all the... Well, part 1 and 2, they just brought everything back. And I thought it worked so well. The way it just each thing was jumping. I love the beginning when they had Bob Seger and they had the other one from the popular ones. And it blended so well. Like, it wasn't like they just threw it on Bob Seger. Like, it was just building up and then it just went right into the Shakedown Breakdown song. So and it, I thought it was cool. And
I was going to say, it didn't feel out of place.
No.
In the sense of being in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, it still felt. It's the same movie. It's the same. Yeah. It's like when they did Danger Zone in the beginning of Maverick. That song is old, but it still works.
Because yes, and they found spots where they could go, oh, this is definitely could work right here. And the car chases I get it, Nate. It's throughout the whole car chases, but it felt with the movie. You're like, oh, this is cool. Especially the Bob Seger when he was with the blow. He's hitting everything. And he was, oh my God, I can't see. I'm going to be blind. And especially his partner's like, dude, you're hitting another cop car. He was like, that's a blind spot. They didn't tell me there was a blind spot. Like, that was funny.
We keep telling him he's going to get a promotion. That made me laugh too.
Oh, yeah, that
was promotion's coming. You're going to get it.
Yeah. He goes, I don't want a promotion.
I don't want it. Yes, you do. He said, yes, you do.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Like, I thought that was funny. I thought I liked that one. The helicopter scene always made me laugh. Because he was like, I crashed. He was like, you tell me this now when we're about to get off the ground. And they fighting. Oh, man, I thought that was fun. And my funniest part, though, is that he was so scared to go up that he was just driving down. And they were hovering over everything. Yeah. I mean, you could tell they were on. I don't know if it's location with a helicopter because there's real people around. But I think they had to build those sets because the helicopter was really on the ground, like hovering, going over cars and stuff. So I don't know where they shot this movie. That it was like super wide to have helicopters to film these things, but I thought it was really funny as hell. I thought that was funny. They crash landed, it was Happy Gilmore, Shooter McGavin. I thought that was funny. I don't know. I thought the action fit very well. I don't know. I like the action sequences. I thought it was, it fit perfect. It felt like this movie was the movie for three. Like, yes. I was like, I could go Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2 and Axel Foley to end the damn thing. Like, okay, great. I'm happy with it. But anyway, gave it a 4. Evan gave it a 4. You gave it a 3. A good. All right. Let's get to storyline here. Nate, okay, what you got for storyline?
Again, I feel like this movie is pretty, like, I feel the rest of it's like, it's fine. When comparing to 3, it is much better, but I don't think it's as good as 1 or 2 for me. And the story, I feel like we went in a lot of routes to get to like some pretty simple ideas. A little convoluted. It's 1 hour and 55 minutes, too long. There's definitely a lot that could have been cut out. Like, especially with the daughter and the thing with, like, she takes on this case. Like, the setup, I feel like, took too long. So that could have been trimmed a bit. And even that, we keep going back to it. Like, Luis Guzman pops up in the club. That made me laugh, too. When he said, there's nothing like a Buffalo Wild Wings. That made me laugh so hard. It was so funny. He's like, I'm from Detroit. This is like going to a Buffalo Wild Wings. And then he sees that guy singing. He's like, there's nothing like a Buffalo. that was funny. So I feel like the script is pretty good with the jokes, but like the plot is, it's fine. Average. I feel like there's a kind of an average movie. I gave it a 3. It doesn't reinvent the wheel. I like the stuff with the daughter, as I mentioned before. I think the setup is a little long, but I think the jokes are pretty good. I did chuckle quite a bit. And I do feel like we mentioned earlier, some of the returns are a little forced here and there. And even like the Taggart thing, that didn't make sense to me, where he's like really mad at Axel Foley the whole time. He's like, I put an APB out on them. They escaped, blah, blah, blah. Like, and the girl comes in and calls him like Uncle John. I'm like, this is supposed to be someone you're really close with, someone you have a 40-year friendship with, and instantly he's just kind of like, we're going to get him.
And he believes Kevin Bacon. He believes Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, like that was kind of annoying too. So a 3 for me.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Anyway, all right, Evan, what you got? We got a 3 from Nate. What you got?
Okay, so when I first watched this movie, this is how I described it to my friends. The first half, amazing. But second half was the worst because you get no payoffs. It was like, I didn't know. This time I thought I was up and down. I said, oh, the second half's not as bad, but it's still not great. I was going back and forth. I was between a 2. I was between a 4. So I landed on a 3. And I know Nate talked on some of the stuff that I was going to mention, so I don't know. We need to rehash it. I personally thought I liked the daughter, but I think Nate said the payoffs were just not there. For being as long as it was, we should have had better payoffs. And I think that's perfectly summed up of why I landed on it.
There. Oh, nice.
All right. Well, I agree with everybody. I gave it a 3. I hate stories with daughters. It's just too generic. It is.
The guy with 2 daughters.
No, it's just, I feel like that's just it's so generic in this type of like any action franchise. Let's give him a son or a daughter. And then we'll expand on it. And I'm like, well,
amazing about how the options are there for your kids. Huh? That's,
oh, you got triplets or doublets, whatever. No, but my thing is just like in terms of the storyline, I agree in terms of there was way too much. It went from a lawyer storyline to the daughter hates his guts to the daughter don't want to see him no more. And it all reminded me of Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard, where Lucy hated John McClane and didn't want nothing to do with his name. So she changed her name to Gennaro. Then at the end, she's a McClane. And then the bad guy got her. She was like, you can call my dad. He's a cop. I said, oh, bitch. The whole fucking movie. You didn't care about your dad. And now you care about your dad. Get it. This movie did the same thing. And it started to irk me. Because I was like, you didn't need a kid in part 4. You didn't. You could have did something. I don't know. Like maybe they could have grabbed her or something. I don't know. I just didn't like that. I just felt like it was way too much setup with the hate. Like, why does the kids always got to hate the parents in these action sequence movies? Except for Gracie in Taken. She loved her dad.
She's the only one that loved her dad. She loved her dad.
But every kid hates their parents. I'm like, geez. But anyway, that's against another trope. Taggart, I didn't like the Rosewood PI thing. I don't know. I was just like, whatever. I didn't care for it much. I thought he should have been more into the story. The older guy, the character. I wish he could have just been more like Ronnie Cox and just because I agree. He was pissed off for everything. He was mad. He yelled at Jordan Gordon-Levitt for no reason, opening up cases.
He's mad at his wife.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny. Don't mix the liver pills with the what pills? How do you get it? Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm calling you back. And then, like, I was just like, oh my God. I don't know. And then the Kevin Bacon storyline, I wasn't crazy about. I agree. It was way too much story where you could have just knocked out. This could have been an hour 20, hour 10. This could have been the same length as Karate Kid Legends. And I think I would have liked it. I mean, I like the movie. That I'm not saying was like I don't.
Tight 90.
That was tight over. 90s.
Well, that's a good complaint, because what we praised about the first two are that simple 90-minute storylines. Yeah. And that's where this movie has its flaw.
Yep. It does. It does. Like, I didn't mind Eddie Murphy and Jordan Gordon-Levitt getting on the run. And because I kind of like movies that they do that when they're on the run. It makes it fun. Like, what happens with this character? But I just feel like it was just so quick. And then it wraps up towards the end really fast. And that whole, no, I mean, and then the whole payoff at the end of the house when they're fighting in there. It's like mad quick. It was just like bang, 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 bang upstairs. He gets shot. Movie's over. And I was just like, oh, God. So for me, I gave it a 3. I think this is way better than part 3. Nowhere near better than part 2. My man Tony Scott, I think, still has the reins in that one in terms of action. I think part 2 has the good action cameras and stuff. But I don't know. I think 1 and 2 is still solid. I still, to me, watching all of them now, 1 and 2 still solid. But this one could be the third one in the franchise, and I'll be happy with it because it ends on a high note. For me, if this is the last of it, which I think it is, I'm good with it. So I gave it a 3. You guys gave it 2 threes. Okay. Overall, take it away, Evan.
Okay. So I have my score here, and I'm going to put a little preference. I don't know why I scored it this. So I had like a bad week. Like my last week was not the best week, but I had this movie made me laugh and gave me a good time.
Okay.
So I gave it a 4. Whoa. But I'm looking back at my like criticism, like looking at it, it's not a 4. But I'm going to leave it as a 4 because I wrote it down. That's what I put there. But that's probably because I was in a funk. It was just not a good week. And this movie brightened up my day. Oh, I enjoyed it. I had fun. I thought I was going to hate it because I hated it the first time. And I didn't. So I'm giving it a 4 and leaving it there. But if you want more like analytical reasons why, I can't tell you.
Yeah, it's okay. That's not, we don't need that type of breakdown right now.
Sometimes that goes out the window. I had a fun time when I watched this. That's
the
it.
Person yeah. I've been waiting to hear overall from is me. The yes. guy in the turtle shirt right now. Yeah. I'm dying to hear to what he says.
Well,
what you got, Nate?
This, I'm trying to think out of the last, I don't know, 20 Netflix movies I've watched, this one is one of the least worst. And maybe that's soft praise, because it is. But you know what? I don't like them. I don't care how many people tell me, no, they're pretty good. No, they're not. They're mostly bad. To me, this one is not horrible. It's pretty good. I do feel like I mentioned earlier, a lot of it feels kind of low rent. A lot of it feels kind of Netflix-y, for lack of a better descriptor. But like Evan, I had a decent time with this. I think it's far better than 3, and that actually played in the theater. This one made me laugh more. It was cool to see most of the cast back, even if I didn't love how they were all used. And I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like I mentioned. I like Kevin Bacon. I gave it a 3. I think it's pretty good. It's the third best out of the 4. I don't think it's like phenomenal, but I guess when you're coming off of like a real stinker, this one is better, and it makes this one look even better. Now, if you took 3 out and this was just like, it was 1 and 2 and then this, I still think it's like a pretty good trilogy. So I gave it a 3.
Yeah. All right. So I'm shocked to say this, but I really like this movie. I gave it a 4 in terms of overall. Man. I think it's fun. I love the soundtrack, that the soundtrack is back. Even when the bad guys are playing, the music was phenomenal from beginning to end. And they played the right notes to the do. I liked it. It fit in every part that he was in and he was doing stuff. They did. I loved it. They went from the 80s version to a modern version to a slow version. When the daughter kicked his ass out of the car, they did it on a slower pace. Loved it. I thought it was pretty cool. My man Bob Seger's honey voice was still in it. Liked it. I thought it was really good. I liked all the old characters coming back. The daughter thing, and it is what it is. But my thing is, Eddie Murphy looked like he had a blast playing this character again. And that's all I cared about for this. And that's why I rated it a 4, because it looked like he had fun. And if he has fun, that means we're going to have some good laughs. And I had a lot of great laughs in this movie with the character. I thought he was funny. That's what that's me. So, all right, total points across the board. Evan, what do you got out of 25?
I got an 18. I find it funny. That ties with my highest score. That's number one. We're both at 18. But my favorite one is number two. But that's not the high score I gave.
Interesting.
Incredible.
What you got, Nate?
I got a 15, which I believe is my third highest score, and I think it's the third best. So it kind of lines up for me. It was fine.
Yeah, I gave it a 16 out of a 25. Again, it's the best of the third. And I would, like, if Netflix ever decided to make this into a physical copy of it, I would buy it. Like, I would rewatch this again. Like, I mean, I know it's on Netflix, but I to put it on in my collection, I would buy it.
But not part three.
Huh?
Not part three.
No, part three would go in the garbage. Just like you hate Turtles in Time. I never brought part three of... I have a DVD. I don't even have a Blu-ray of Beverly Hills Cop 3. But anyway, that's it, Nate. What's coming up next on the podcast?
All right. We got one more classic TV, comic book strip, comic book serial type movie to do. I think this was a first time watch for someone on this panel. And we're going to be wrapping this up with 1980s Flash Gordon, and then Alex. Got a big one coming up. Now, there are some big franchises we have not done.
Nope.
Because either A, they keep making movies, and it's like, when are you going to stop? Because we want to do these. Now, obviously, if we do a franchise and a movie comes out way later, that's different. We have a lot of franchises where movies were like set to come out. We had to wait. Yeah. So we waited. And finally, we're doing, I would say, maybe one of the biggest franchises of the last 30 years.
Oh.
We are going to be doing the Mission Impossible franchise. Finally.
Oh, which wow.
We have not done yet. So this will be 8 movies. Now that the last one it's available to get on digital and stuff. And I believe by time we get there, it'll be out on disc. Physically. So yeah, everyone can own these. They're done, allegedly. So I was like, it's time to pull the trigger on this franchise. So yes, we'll be doing the Mission Impossible 8 movies. Ethan Hunt, Tom Cruise, let's go. I'm excited because I've been wanting to do them. We needed that last one to come out.
Same here. I've been dying to go back and revisit the Hunt.
I can't wait till we review Mission Impossible 2. I feel like that could be a banner episode for us, depending on how it goes. I haven't watched it in like
when did we do? Years. I felt like we did that one.
No.
Like, didn't we do that for...
John Woo?
No. We never did nothing Mission Impossible 2. Nothing.
Could have been an online thingy.
I feel like we might have talked about it, but...
Yeah, I think we talked about it or something.
Yeah, we have not done a Mission Impossible.
I just did the Mission Impossibles with my son to prepare for this last one. So we just did all of them together.
It's a long time.
That was it was a fun watch.
Yes. Mm. So we'll be doing I'm hyped. I can't wait. Some of my favorite action movies in this franchise, just in general, that I really like. And some, I know we have differing opinions. I think it's going to be fun. So yes, excited. Mission Impossible.
That's going to be really fun. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Action Movie Guys podcast episode. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Geeks and Flicks, for reviews, unboxings, and more. And make sure to follow the podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And remember, don't just watch movies, live the action.